Again, I appreciate everybody being here, your attentiveness, and the title I gave this, and I can't take credit for the title. I read it in a letter from one of the ministries we follow, Jesus, Our Caretaker. I thought it was a good message, and I didn't want pastor to think that I just made it, I got it myself. I got it, but it wasn't my original to me. You know, when you think about that, he is our caretaker. And not that we should be out of it, and he got to take care of us like we're in a nursing home, God forbid, spiritually. But, you know, he's probably going to go over 1 Peter 5. I've heard that. Well, you haven't heard it like this before, I don't think, because the Spirit of God's going to show you some things. I want to give some tools today, because we are in this last sliver of time. And you know, how many know that people are under pressure? I mean, or is it just me? If it's just me, let me know, okay? Pressure and things on your mind and things and not enough time and the kids and this and that and overwhelmed by the demands of life. You can relate, right? Or not? Yeah, good. Yeah, feedback is good. So I think, really, I know that all kind of people are pressured, and it's like we need to be encouraged, because for us there's plenty of help available. You know, sometimes I think about all these help-wanted things in industries and fast food places. People are looking for good help. And what I do, I review other people's work professionally, and I see there's and I'm talking about multi-million dollar things. I've reviewed some of these $550 million deals, Manhattan. And there's appraisers, and then there's appraisers. And there's some that shouldn't be. And that seems like there's that way in all ranks of life. But you look at all the industries that want help, and then I think about all the abortions over the years, you know, that, and I'm not, you know, we don't have to deal with that, but there's a lot of people that never got born that could be out there in the labor force by now. When was Roe, was it 74 or early, sometime in the 70s? A lot of unborn children that would be working and functioning for God. Thank God they're in heaven. But, you know, there's all kind of pressures in that realm, in the employment realm. You talk to people that are supervisors or our own businesses. I mean, if I was going to hire somebody, I would have no idea where to go to look for somebody. And I have a certain expertise. But, you know, I really feel for, getting qualified teachers, getting qualified anybody. So there's that pressure. It seems like when I was a kid, you called people for service, or a young person, you called for service, and people were respectful, and they answered you. Now, you got to pray and believe God, you get the right person right away if you need help on something. So there's this pressure. But Jesus is Lord. You know, he's not just our Savior, he's our Lord. So we can go to him, and we can have relief in many ways. But so I'm just delivering this message. I've been meditating on this, and I can testify this has helped me so immensely in keeping the pressure off. I'm dealing with certain things right now that I'm not going to get into, but, you know, they would tend to, when you wake up at night, they tend to try and keep you awake. You know, you have them, right? It's not just me. And it's not always, but, you know, when there's certain big things in going on. So I get this newsletter from one of the ministers or partners with him, and he's talking about years ago, he was facing this tremendous pressure. And he said, the Lord gave him this statement. And I just started saying this. I refuse the pressure and the stress. I choose instead to enter the rest. Say that with me. I want you relaxed here. I want you to hear it. I want you to get something you can use. I don't want you to say something and you go out the door. I want something you can take if you want to act on it, and it'll help you. That's what I want. So say that. I refuse the pressure and the stress. I mean, unless you want it, then don't say this. I refuse the pressure and the stress. I choose instead to enter the rest. I choose instead to enter the rest. I say that sometimes 2-3 times, and I'll tell you, it eases your mind, so to speak, because if you really watch what you're saying, you know, you have what you say, and you have confidence in that. Now, people that are liars, that don't tell the truth, they don't have confidence in what they say, so they can say this, and you know, I wonder if that'll work. But, no, so, you know, no matter what we're going through today, the key is to get rid of the pressure, enter into the rest, because that's when you can hear out of your heart. You know, that's when actually you can think better, but get out of your mind and get into your spirit. Get rid of this pressure and stress, and you can hear from God. That's the key. Enter into the rest. So, you know, some people say, oh, yeah, yeah, that's all well and good. I heard that message. I know this and I know that. And, yeah, that's fine. But I got real problems, brother. You think, you know, well, everybody does. And get over it. I'm not talking to you guys, but when I hear that, I think, get over yourself. Like, yours is the biggest, best, worst problem, and it's too big for Jesus. You're ignorant. Get out of my face. I don't say that. I think it. But, you know, get over yourself. So I have to say that to me sometimes. Get over myself, you know, and my wife will tell me too. She's back there. So, but that's good. That's good to have somebody tell you the truth. So a month or so ago, I was, I don't know, string trimming. I was doing different things. And we were in Virginia, actually, then soon after that, hiking. And I keep getting this in I'm hearing this. Go to the high ground. Go to the high ground. Go to the high ground. So if we were hiking, I'd go step up to the higher level or just to act. I'm just getting this. We get home, and in fact, there was a newsletter that I got this out of. And this guy says, you know, under a real time of stress, God gave him this scripture. And I looked at it, and I thought, yeah. So you might want to turn there. Psalm 61. I'll just read it to you, though. I'm going to read out of the New King James. And this was a song. I don't know if you guys remember this song, but hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry unto you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I know Len Mink used to sing that. I don't know. But so this, and before I open this letter, it's like when I unwrap a message from pastors sitting here. I'm hooking my faith to it. And it always, man, it never fails. So this letter, God says to me, I see it there. He says, this is for you. This is really going to bless you. This, not just he did it for me only, but this is something else for you. So I read this and I get, and it just so blessed me about entering into the rest. And, you know, you see the thing from a spiritual perspective. The rock represents the high ground, the vantage point where you can look down on the problem. Where you're not looking like this, where it's like you're in a hole and they're dumping ground on you. Like, wait, let me get this problem solved. You're on the high ground and you can see how to handle that problem. That's, you enter into the rest. That's what I'm talking about. Hear from God and act on what he tells you to do and get out of that situation. So, you know, we deal with things and life is complex and yet it's simple. You know, you follow the word of God. I have something I do a lot, and it involves Acts 20:24. You don't have to turn here. I'm going to move rather fast, but if you want to just write down the scriptures. Acts 20:24 says, but none of these things move me. The Apostle Paul was talking about some of the things he went through. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. You know, get over yourself. Now, we are important to God. We have a function to do, so that I might finish my course with joy. Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength, right? So your course, that's your career. I think I looked up the Greek. Let me see what I'll find it here. Anyway, your course, I'm not seeing it. Oh, yes, race. Finish your race, your career, your course, your life. Your call, well, and, but it says, and the ministry. That's your calling. So you're supposed to, I think about God probably every minute of the day. You probably do too. But he wants us to have a life. He wants you to go swimming. He wants you to have recreation. You know, I debated, should I go to this Messiah women's soccer thing yesterday? But I checked my heart and he said, go. Now, Ward, thank you. He set up totally today. I didn't have to come in and do that early. So you check your heart on these things. So, and it says, and the ministry, which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So there's a balance here. We're to enjoy life and the ministry. You know, it talks about, and another part of my ritual, and this is things that, you know, Pastor talked about these things. Again, it's training points. John 14, he said, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall you do also? I just say, if we're praying, I say, Jesus said to me, Michael, Darlene, the works that I do, you do also. And then I go to Matthew 11. And I said, okay, the works that you do in our ministry, the ministry here, our personal ministry, the dead are raised, the lepers are cleansed, the blind see, the poor of the gospel preach to them. And then you said, Jesus, you said, Michael, Darlene, Sherry, John, all the works that I do, greater works than these shall you do. So, you know, that's where I'm keeping that care off, where I'm saying none of these things move me, that I might finish my course with joy, strength. Joy is such a force in these days, because joy will get you over, get the points on the board. You know, we don't want to be at the goal line, or you don't want to be playing soccer and you're right there and you're right, the goal's there and you're right there and you miss the ball. You know, you want to get it in the goal. Of course, I was a goalie. I want to keep it out of the goal. So anyway, but you know, you want to get the results. And I'm convinced this is what Jesus is doing, showing this. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're gonna look at that. So no matter what the problem or the issue, we need to roll the care of it over on him and enter into the rest of God. Now, I got to qualify this. You know, you always have, I tell the grandkids, you know, Billy Bob, you know, I use it as an example. Nobody's here, Billy Bob, right? I'm not making fun of anybody, I just imaginary character. Yeah, there's Billy Bob, you know. Did you ever, what was that show, Peppa Pig. One time our granddaughter, we're telling her a story at night, and she's going like, so the Peppa Pig thing about this babo, this big person is just, you know, just waltzing around and just, you know, not with it. And just, she had laughing on the, rolling on the floor. But so here you got Billy Bob, you know, he's going to hear this message that Mike Arendo's preaching. He's going to say, yeah, see there, Myrtle? Or no, Luella Bell? See there? We don't have to do anything. We just roll the care over on God. We don't have to do anything. We just sit back in our Adirondack rocking chair that's about to fall apart, and we just get our welfare check, we don't have to do anything. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you. When you're hearing from heaven, you'll probably end up doing more than normal. You hear from heaven, you do what he tells you to do, but you're entering the rest. I had somebody say to me, yeah, my wife said, you know, well, okay, Billy Bob, you know, he couldn't wait till he got to 62 so he could retire, Social Security. And that's fine. Problem is, his wife's very ill, and he had insurance where he was working. Oh, well, no. He's gone. Billy Bob leaves. No insurance. Okay. So, you know, his wife was a bit concerned. So Billy Bob says to me, you know, yeah, my wife says, you know, about all this, but I keep telling her it's a sin to worry. And listen, you know, I'm talking about an imaginary figure now. So, you know, but you know some of these people, don't you? And then they sit down and do nothing, and they're spiritually lazy, and they're naturally lazy, and they're every other lazy. I'm not saying everybody on disability or what have you, but I'm talking, so this, what I'm telling you today is not the easy way out, but it's the anointed way out. And if you're working in the anointing, it is a pleasure. So, hallelujah, that's what I'm saying. So did we go to 1 Peter 5 yet? I didn't, but I'm going. So I want to give you some scripture that you can hook into the high ground. So, you know, God hasn't called you to, if anybody's in business, to have the biggest business in the world, or the biggest business in the state, or even the biggest in the county. You may end up with that if you enter the rest. God hasn't called, you know, fill in the blank. God hasn't called pastor to build the big church. We probably will have a huge church, but what he's called you to do, pastor to do, me to do, is to enter into the rest. And then you can follow what God's saying. Do you know that one of the Greek things about care is in the Strong's Concordance is distraction. You know, when you got something on your mind, you're working, but then you got this hanging on you. It's like, what do I do here? This is bothering me. It's a distraction all the time. I hate that. So, I'm miserable like that. And so we need to learn to deal with it by the word. So I was talking about something to get results. So the only thing he's called us to do is to enter into the rest. In fact, Hebrews 4 says, there remains therefore a rest of the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Did he say Myrtle? Did he say labor? Myrtle? Billy Bob and his cousin Myrtle. All right. So, no, in fact, yeah, he did. And in fact, the Amplified says, let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves. So, again, I'm not talking about sitting back, just being spiritually dense and doing nothing. I'm talking about getting the pressure off you so you can hear from God. And, you know, Pastor talks about this. You got to ask the right questions. And, you know, if there could be a whole thing knotted up, but you pull that one string and it all unleashes. So, and this is one thing I never... I'm not trying to be critical of anybody, but the church, you hear these people that hear a message and you know there's an answer there and they just don't want to exert themselves. They don't want to do what it takes. And what I'm going to tell you today, I meditate this, not always daily, I should do it daily, but I'll give you a little secret. This thing that was bothering me, I had it off of me. Got busy last weekend. Like Pastor said, he got busy and God got on his case. Well, I got busy last Friday, Saturday, and of course Sunday. Didn't spend a lot of time in the Word then. And man, Sunday night I woke up and this was on me. I'm worrying again. I'm thinking about this issue. What do I do? How do we handle it? What if this? What if that? What if this? All of a sudden, wait a minute. So I got that off me in the middle of the night, went back to sleep. In the morning, I went over these scriptures, and it is amazing how fast that's left me. And if I stay on the Word, just praying the Holy Ghost, thinking about these things, meditating, that can't come back. You know, they say you can make a habit in whatever number of days, 21, 28. You start meditating, and Pastor talks about this, and Joshua says, meditate the Word day and night. And there's a reason for that, because it gets easier. You know, that spirit trying to hound you can't get in as quickly. You've got, no, I'm not taking that care. Jesus is taking care of that. And we'll talk more in depth about that. But some people just check out. They don't want to put the effort in. Well, then just they're going to have to worry. But God shows us how. Pastor teaches. He's showing us how to do things. I'm teaching today by the Holy Ghost. He's showing you how to do things. But you've got to exert yourself. And you guys do. I'm not criticizing. And he expects us to act on his word, exert ourselves and act on it. Yeah, I mean, we're human. You know, every day, maybe not. Maybe I get busy. I try to, you know, I fully believe you should spend time, and I do pray in the Holy Ghost daily. But it's a matter of the time, and it takes time. You know, if you got an assignment to do, or you got to get to work at, what do you start, John, 5:30? You got to get to work. You know, maybe you pray a different time, but, you know, you take that time, you be consistent, and you keep this in you. You know, I fully believe that entering the rest is important, and because faith works by love, Galatians 5:6, grace works by faith, we know that, Romans 4:16 is a faith that it might be by grace. We want to operate in grace, and we'll see here in a minute that God gives grace to the humble. So it's like a chain hooked together. These are important factors that God's given us. So let's read here. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. So what is humility, first of all? The Lord said this to me. He said, you know this over the years, you've meditated. Make sure you take your time and explain this so I'm slowing down now. Did I get an amen there? Okay. What is humility? Like she can tell you, there's some mornings when we're praying together, it's like a train moving or a jet plane taking off. It gets on you. And I know, you know what I'm talking about. Pastor talks about this. You can't get the scripture out fast enough that God's given you. You're praying, you're excited, but I'm teaching today. So here we go. What is humility? Well, true humility is casting your cares on the Lord. Humility, he says, God gives grace to the humble, resists the proud. Humility is humbling yourself to God's word and putting it first place in your life. I told you this in the offering some weeks ago. My dad entered the Air Force, a private, saw an announcement on the board. They wanted cadet pilots. He applied, got picked, maybe they picked 100 out of thousands, and got selected, went to training in Barksdale, San Antonio area, and or in Louisiana, different places. But he said to me, years later when I was growing up, he said, you know, I had my pilot's license before I went in the Air Force, private pilot. But he said, I would not tell them that at all, because you are there, you don't know anything. You know nothing. You're being trained. You're doing it the Air Force way, Army Air Corps at that time. You don't want to act like an instructor, like you know something. You know, we can have a conversation with pastor, but, you know, it's like, we don't, never mind. So, but my dad said he never wanted the instructor to know, like, he had a cocky attitude, because he humbled himself. He learned their systems and their ways, and of course it helped him. He knew the principles of flight, aeronautics, and that sort of thing, but it helped him. And he told me one time that, you know, well, another person that he knew washed out, they call it washed out, had an attitude, oh man, I know how to do this, I know this, you're out of here. You know, you look back to an instructor, you're done, we don't need you. You know, they were the first class graduating after World War II and the forerunner of the Air Force Academy. So, I mean, it was day and night. They told you when to sleep, when to eat, when to that. So if you go in there with an attitude, you're not gonna stay there. You're not going to last. I talk about the Band of Brothers a lot. You know, those guys, if they didn't cut it, they were sent back to regular. They weren't going to be paratroopers. They weren't going to be in the elite force. You know, we don't want to have this attitude, well, I know this. I know the word says that, but no, humbling yourselves is putting it the word first place in your life. And we can all use that correction now. Then, you know, we need to keep ourselves in line. What's important is not what we think about a situation, but what God thinks, what God's word says. Brother Hagin said, I'm not moved by what I think. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by what I believe. And then he'd say, and I believe the word of God is true. So, and we know this. You know that in the face of sickness, pain, you've got to go to the word. You've got to stand, and you know the principles of faith and operating in it. So that's humbling yourselves. When pastor had feeling sick, and he wanted to go back, call in sick, go back to bed, and God said, you know, do you believe 1 Peter 2:24, or do you believe you're healed? He said, yeah, then act like it. You know, that's humbling yourself. That's tough. So God's word must be final authority in your life. Humility is to submit yourself. It's not not to think that you know everything, but it's not to degrade yourself either. It's not to say, oh, I'm such an idiot. The other day I had to repent because I spilled something on my shirt eating. And I just got mad at myself. And I don't know what I said, but wait a minute. Now that's, I don't want to talk to me that way. You don't want to degrade yourself. You could say it this way, humility. Now it says God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. You could say it this way, humility attracts God. And pride pushes him away. We'll find here that, do you remember those magnets? When I was a kid, my grandmother had these little dog magnets. And if you turn them one way, they flew apart. And is that polarity, I guess? I don't know. But if you have them in a certain way, they pull together. Well, humbling yourself, you know, you're attracting God. God's given you grace. But if you're in pride in a situation, it's like, it's not God, wait, now I got you, Glenn. Now you messed up. I'm going to nail you. No, it's not that. He doesn't want to do that, but he can't help it. You're in pride. You're repelling like that magnet. You're pushing God away. He doesn't want to be pushed away. So we have to have the right idea about this. So in verse 6, how do you humble yourself? It says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And sometimes when I'm praying over this stuff, I get so hooked up with different scriptures, I've got to limit myself. But God gave me this one day. It says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Isaiah 40, verse 10 says, fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. The Amplified says, I will harden your difficulties. I'll strengthen you. I'll harden your difficulties. I will help you. Now, he's helping us. The Lord is helping us. He said so. He's helping us. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. We're humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. I like to say, Lord, I'm humbling myself under that mighty right hand of righteousness that you're upholding me with. You're upholding me. So you can't lose in these situations. And you just hook up these scriptures and you get excited about them and you get them in you. And then when that thought comes, it's easier to just, no, get out of here. Knock that thing out of there. So you humble yourself. The Amplified Classic says, you humble yourself by casting all your care, anxiety, distress, uneasiness of mind caused by fear of danger or misfortune. What do they call it? FOMA, fear of missing out. Might not get the best deal. They might have another sale next week and you've already paid this. You roll that over on him, for he cares deeply for you. So we know that care and anxiety are part of the curse. The Bible talks about fear not in so many different forms, a lot of times in the Bible. Jesus said in John 14:27, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The understood subject there is you. And man, this has helped me over the years. You know, when this would come up, I'd say, no, I don't let my heart be troubled. I refuse to fear. I don't let it be afraid. It's amazing when you get that in you, in your heart, out of your spirit. You know, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. You have what you say. You believe it in your heart. You say it with your mouth. Things happen. You get, and I'm telling you, meditation will do this faster than you think. But, you know, you can take a situation, just speak to, no, I refuse to fear. I refuse to fear. I refuse this. I do not let my heart be troubled. Go back to sleep. Just go back to sleep. And I mean, not in the daytime. I'm talking in the middle of the night, unless you're on night shift. So fear is the opposite of faith. You can't do both at the same time. Fear not is a command. So God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. And notice it said God won't humble you. The understood subject there also is you humble yourself. You know, well, I know this. I know how to do this. I've done this 100 times. Well, no, why isn't it working now? What does the word say about it? You know, go back. If you've dealt with healing and you've got it down, but all of a sudden, you know, you've maybe not been in the word very much, and maybe you're hanging out, God forbid, with the friends that go to the clubs and this and that. And if I'm meddling, forgive me. And all of a sudden, you know, it doesn't take long. We are under intense training with the word. It doesn't take long getting away from the word. You start thinking a little bit squirrely. So you got to pull yourself back. And realize that this is how we live. We humble ourselves. We cast our cares. Now, turn to Mark chapter 4. I want to get into some detail here. I'm not keeping you till midnight or anything. Don't worry. I'm going to take my jacket off. Nobody cares. I just realize I get warm. You guys okay temperature-wise? No, I shouldn't ask that because the ladies will say, oh, no. And I only say that because there was a study done that women generally are cooler in the office than men, and it's a big debate all the time. So Mark chapter 4 and verse 18 and 19. Now, this is the parable of the sower, and I've taught on this. That pastor taught on this. And I'd like to read the whole thing, but I can't. I got to stay in my course here. So verse 18, Mark 4:18. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So he's equating cares here to the thorn in the parable of the sower. You know, this is where the sower sows the word. It's about the word being sown. It's about the wayward ground. You could call it a farm road, the turn row, where you make the turn and it's harder ground than when you're planting or what have you. In the stony ground, it's not doing very well. It talks about the good ground later on, 30, 60, 100 fold. But we're talking here about planted in the thorns, cares of this world, enter in, choke the word. The Amplified says, and then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age. Does that sound like what we're dealing with? And, you know, I talked about president and some certain representatives earlier, but I think a lot of people, there's an Antichrist spirit flowing, and some don't even know what they're being used, you know, and some do, but we need to just make our decisions based on the Word of God. So cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age, the Amplified says, creep in and choke and suffocate the Word, and it becomes fruitless. Now, I don't want that happening to me, do you? So this is one of the reasons I think the Holy Ghost is giving us this, faith works by love. And the, you know, grace, is, it is a faith that it might be by grace. He gives grace to the humble. You humble yourselves by throwing that care on him. This is another integral part. I've known this over the years, but it just really highlighted to me recently. And so if the word is choked and becomes fruitless, I want to read this to you. You don't have to turn there, but you can note it. It's John 15, 7 and 8. And Pastor talks about this a lot. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So prayer, asking, prayer. Then here is what happens, verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Answered prayer is the fruit. Glorifies the Father. But the cares, the thorns, will suffocate, and the word becomes fruitless. So we don't want that. I respect that Jesus, you know, maybe you like to worry, but get over it, because you shouldn't. For this point of view, you want to have more answers to prayer. So, notice the reference to thorns. Now, I'm going to get into something like a sacred cow here, but I'm just going to do this because it fits. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 7. You guys probably all know this. I've known it, but I just want to emphasize this. Paul's thorn in the flesh. Notice the word thorn. So this would settle an ancient debate in my mind. Paul said, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. You know, Jesus appeared to the Apostle Paul. He had revelation knowledge. He wrote a lot of the New Testament, what, two-thirds or so, by revelation of the catching wind, the authority of the believer. He got some things. But lest he be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And people say, I wonder what that was. Somebody said he had bad eyesight. Somebody, oh yeah. And he paraphrases, even say God gave it to him, which is an impossibility. That makes me upset. But it says what it is right here, if you can read. The messenger, he was given to me a thorn in the flesh. What is the thorn in the flesh, Paul? The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. The devil is not going to let him get anything except by revelation from the word. He's not going to let him be exalted because of visions and these sort of things. Brother Hagin had to deal with, you know, this sort of thing. A messenger of Satan sent to buffet me. So it wasn't from God. I mean, would God send a demon to keep somebody out of pride? Remember the thorn equivalating to cares. You roll the care over you humble yourself. God resists the proud. You humble yourself over on him by casting your cares. Would God send a demon to keep you out of pride? I mean, that's like putting a fox in the chicken house to guard the chickens. To me, that's the epitome of stupidity. Or somebody said, like putting a dog at the meat to guard the meat. They're, you know, they're going to eat it up. So this was a messenger of Satan. It plainly tells what it is. And God did not give it to him. So so take heart here. I mean, I'm going to read something else. Paul explains this by the Holy Ghost in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. And you have to read the whole chapter to get the context. But there were some people, he called them false apostles, trying to say, I've been through this, I've done that, blah, blah, blah. Like Darlene would say, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to break into verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. In other words, he's saying some things. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Oh my word. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. He's been through these things that are affecting his flesh and him, buffeting him. But listen to this, verse 28. Besides those things that are without, on the outside of me, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. That's the thorn, the care of all the churches. The care. Weymouth says, where are my notes on that? Okay, let me get this here. Weymouth. And apart from all else, there is that which presses on me daily, pressure on me daily, my anxiety for all the churches. That's the thorn, the Amplified Classic. And besides those things that are without, there is the daily, inescapable pressure on my care and anxiety for all the churches. The Apostle Paul had to deal with this, what Peter wrote about, same as we do. Take heart. He dealt with more than us. I mean, I never was in the... I don't want to be in the ocean all that time and sharks and all that. And you know what I'm saying? He had to deal with all this. So we're not like out here without an example. But what did he say then in 2 Corinthians chapter, we talked about 7 where it talked about the messenger of Satan. Verse 8, 2 Corinthians 12:8. For this I besought the Lord thrice, 3 times that he might depart from me. In other words, get this thing off of me. You know, and the Lord said something to him. My grace is sufficient for you. You get him off. You have authority. You know what to do. You take care of this. The understood subject is you take care. You take the authority and run him off. And we need to run off this care, this buffeting of whatever is bothering you. I could tell you, me, and you might say, oh, well, that's nothing. Mine's worse than that. But I'm not going to do that. You know what I'm saying? We all think we're the top caretaker, but we need to roll that and, you know, use our faith, his grace. I was asleep, I think it was August of 2013. I didn't see Jesus. I heard him. He was right over here. And he said, Michael, my grace. And then he used a Charles Capps paraphrase. So I know Jesus and Charles Capps are like this. He said, Michael, my grace. My willingness to use my power and my ability on your behalf, parentheses, even though you don't deserve it, is sufficient. Man, that when you think about, meditate on this, God is willing to use his power and his ability, is using it on your behalf. You roll that care over on him. The Apostle Paul said by the Holy Ghost, well, Jesus said, my strength, which is the word dunamis, is made perfect in weakness. And this turned the Apostle Paul on, it turns me on. He said, most gladly, therefore, in verse 9, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ, the power, the anointing, may rest upon me. The anointing will shatter every yoke, destroy every yoke. And if you look at Strong's, there's an implication, or Strong's or Vines, there's an implication. I used to think, I don't want to confess infirmities, but yet, hey, there's a connotation there, my inability to produce results. What am I going to do about this, Jesus? I roll the care of this over on you, that your power may rest upon me. You know, so you glory in that. Apostle Paul said, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities, verse 10. So, you know, in reproaches and persecutions. So there is a way to turn this thing, and the devil runs. You know, he resists him, he flees as if in terror. I told you this before, but when I was going through my designation, one of the hardest things I had to do, study and exams, and I'm not talking about a half-hour exam. I'm talking about four exams, 3 and 4 hours each, and then almost 300 hours worth of work on a demonstration report. And it came out of me. And going to Chicago, and I told you this, Saturday night, I came Sunday, worked all week. Saturday night, this is flowing. I'm wrapping it up. It's due Sunday at noon, and we have to transmit it. 7 o'clock to 2 a.m., and it is flowing. I'm concluding. And then I lose all that data for 5 hours, or what is that, 7 hours work? 5 hours, 7 hours, yeah. And I think, I could have quit, but that's not the way I operate. So as the sun came up over the Chicago River, on the 22nd story of that hotel room, I'm finishing up my report, and like I told you, it wasn't perfect like it was before, but it was good enough. I transmitted it, went to bed for 45 minutes, and Darlene called me, and then I got in a jet plane and went home. But it came out of me several times during that process. Lord, thank you that I can be in this position to trust you. And I thought, who is saying this? It comes out of your spirit. But there's a grit when you get this in you. No, I'm on him. My care is on him. And he's well able. We sang it today. He's able. He's faithful. So go back to 1 Peter now. Excuse me. And believe me, I didn't say that out of my head. I came out of my spirit. I was just thanking God. And that seemed to strengthen me even more. When you're in a situation that seems like it's bleak, and it seems like, can you go on another day? I called her several times and said, just got to pray. I don't even know, stamina-wise, I'm going from early in the morning till late at night, and then trying to get a few hours sleep and keep writing. And you have to analyze. And they make it so it looks like, oh, this will fit. But it doesn't fit. Then you got to use your head and analyze. Anyway, enough of that. You deal with your own issues. I mean, you might have to analyze a vehicle. What's wrong? You might have to analyze, how am I going to teach this kid? How am I going to make this part? It's just, you have your own issues, but they're as intense as anything I've dealt with, I'm sure. So, in 1 Peter chapter 5, you know, we talk now about the thorn in the flesh, the Apostle Paul had to deal with the cares of all the churches, and I believe he got over it. I mean, my word, the Apostle Paul, he talked about this, but he knew the word, he got over it, he had to take care of this, he said daily, but I'm sure, in my mind, I want to ask him this, I'm thinking, he's doing it, okay, I got to deal with this daily, and after a while, it's easier and easier and easier, and then maybe he has to go deal with these churches, and he's off a little bit, and then he's got to get back on it. So, you know, you never get away from the word, you always stay there. So now we can see how this fits. We've said, he resists the proud, he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. How do you humble yourself? Casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. The Amplified says, help me, Darlene. It says carefully and passionately. He watchfully cares for you. Yeah. Excuse me. I mean, he cares for you. More than you think. More than you care for you, I'm sure. So, now we see how this fits. Next verse. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. He's seeking whom he may devour. Is it 5 of 11, or what am I? Yes, okay. Sorry. Take a breath. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. So you see, he's going to try and bring these cares to you. I never put that together until just here recently. I mean, obviously, that's in there for a purpose. You're supposed to roll your care, but you know, he's not going to say, Sherry, oh, John, oh, Eileen, okay, I'll let you alone now. You did that, okay. No, he's not going to do that. You know that devil. He's going to keep coming back and coming back as a roaring lion. But it doesn't say he is a roaring lion. This is my message for him, usually daily. Devil, you may be as a roaring lion, but you're not. You are not a roaring lion. You're not a roaring lion. And then the next verse, it says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I mean, the Apostle Paul had to deal with this. We all deal with these cares. It's just the world, the way the world is right now. Take heart, things are changing. But whom resist steadfast in the faith? Then I say, devil, well, I say, you're not a royal lion, you may be as one, but you're not going to devour me or my family, you're not going to do it. We don't let you, excuse me, do that. Then I say, taking the next verse, I resist you steadfast in the faith. And then I hook up, God hooks up like chains of scripture, hooks and up. And then I hook up 1 John 5, 4. And you can use these things as a weapon. Put them in your arsenal. 5:4 says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So I say to him, you may be as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom you may devour, but you are most definitely not a roaring lion. And you'll not devour us. I resist you steadfast in the faith, which is the victory that overcomes the world. He doesn't like that, to hear that. And then I hook that up with Revelation 12:11. You don't have to do this, but this is how God deals with me. Because I like to nail down by the word. I'm very confident then that I can put it on him. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. They overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. They love not their lives unto death. That's Revelation 12:11. So I just say, yeah, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We love not our lives unto ourselves. Acts 20:24 says, you know, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. I'm in Christ. I'm in the anointed one. I'm in his anointing. He cannot touch me. He cannot touch you. But you got to know who you are, and you can't stand there and say, gee, I wonder if that worked. I wonder if, is he going to do something? You know, you got to be in faith. You got to use the word, and you know this. So, as I said before, that the idea of care, the idea of the same as, backing up. When Apostle Paul said the care of the churches, the daily care, that is the exact same Greek word that's in here, casting your care over on the Lord. And it has to do with the idea of distraction. If he could distract you worrying about a situation, you're going to miss the answer to a key thing on something else you're dealing with. So most of us deal with multiple things at any one time. And we need to be able to be cool and think. Another example in my life, as I said, what I do is very, I've got to focus. So Darlene knows when I start a review on a product, it could be a warehouse, office complex, apartment complex, New York City cooperative buildings, stuff like that. And I read it and I know what to look for and I'm going. But if I get interrupted at one point, I can stop at one point. But if I get interrupted before there, then I think to myself, because I'm looking at so many of these, did I do that right? Then I got to go back and double check that. Whereas if I can go through up to a certain point, I can stop there and then I go to the next part. But you've got to learn. In fact, this is just a little tip. Don't let people run your life on your time. You know, if you need X amount of time to do something, you know, their emergency may not be something you should jump into. They think it's an emergency. It probably isn't. So anyway, how to get off on that. But, resist him steadfast in the faith. You know, we're supposed to resist everything that Jesus bore for us on the cross. We resist sin, sickness, poverty, sickness, disease, lack. We resist every part of that curse. So, I'd love to get into that. Well, sometime we will, but I'm going to go on from there. So, what Jesus said in John 14:27, he said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, and none as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Amplified there, I really like, says, my peace I leave with you, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you. He's done it. He left. He sent the Holy Ghost. He left. He gave you his peace. None as the world gives do I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated or disturbed, the Amplified says, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful, intimidated, or cowardly, or unsettled. Unsettled. Don't let yourself be unsettled. That's easier said than done, but when you start getting unsettled, you got to stop. You got to back up, and you got to go to the Word, and you say, no, I don't let myself be unsettled. I don't let this come on me. So God is showing us these things. He expects us to act on them. You know, we could, like Pastor says, you can listen to his messages, you can listen to this message, and think that was nice, and go out, and then the worry hits you, and think, well, that didn't work. But, you know, it takes rolling the care over him. In football, there's a quarterback, and then there's a receiver. Arlie, you're the receiver. I'm throwing my care on you. Maybe you don't want it, but so, you know, but Jesus is, he is our caretaker. He is our care receiver. He'll grab that thing. He'll take it, you know, and when we rest in that, he's working. That thrills me too. I always say every second, every minute, every hour, every day, 24 hours a day, 365 a year, he's working. But then I start worrying. No, oh, you got it back. Then all he throws it back to me. So, you know, you got to enter that rest. And Jesus understands. So there's times I got to repent several times a day because I'm worrying. I'm thinking about this, and then I realize I'm tending to worry. Now, I repent of that, Lord. I'm not taking the care of that thing. So let me give you here's where the good fight of faith comes in. This is a weapon for your arsenal. And this is how you combat this. It's a practical thing, you know, but I want to emphasize for you. And we're starting to, well, we're not wrapping, we're getting there. But this is the next step. It talks about in 1 Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. So what is that good fight of faith? It's in the mind, a lot of it. The soul is on the mind, the will, the emotions. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. A little bit east of where we were. And think about what this is saying in the context of what I've been ministering. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Pastor's been talking about, you know, not operating in the works of the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not fleshly, not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And I were in their cares, pulling down of cares. The weapons of our warfare are mighty. The word, the name of Jesus, the blood. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now that word imaginations is reasoning. I also looked it up. I think it's computation. In other words, you're computing in your mind. How am I going to do this? You're laying there at night. Okay, how am I going to do this if I do this and I do that? And I'm not saying not to think. You do use your intelligence, but you want to get out of your head into your spirit. Even in the nighttime hours, my inner man instructs me. Psalm 16:5, I believe it is. Eileen reads that a lot. That blesses me. You want to get out of your head and have your spirit minister to you. Your spirit actually gets it into your head then, but you've got to cast down imaginations or computations. Keith Moore said this when they were looking at buying a building in Branson to start a church. He said, I took my calculator and I worked every which way I could, and I finally realized there is no way I can make this work. But yet, it worked. They got a church in Branson and also have one in Sarasota now. So, you know, we don't operate in the mind. How do we do this? Computations. Casting down computations, reasonings, imaginations. The Spirit of God makes things work by the anointing. And we have to rely on that in these days. So, and again, I borrowed this from Keith Moore. He said, you know, do you ever lay awake at night and you're going through this? You're going back and forth. Then you think, oh, God, what about? It's like, and did you ever do this naturally? You're in a filing cabinet. You're looking, where is this file? Now, nowadays, we have computers and everything, but I still have some filing cabinets. I'm looking through this. Where is this? And I say, darling, where is this? And she says, I don't know. You must have. I'm going front to the back. Then I go, you know, how dumb is this? Then I go from the back to the front again. I just look there thinking, well, maybe I look too fast. Am I relating to anybody? So going through your mind at night if you're worrying, or daytime, whenever. Okay, what's the answer to this? What's the answer to this? It's like going through a file camera. It's not in there. It's not in there. The answer is not in your head. The answer for Keith Moore or you or me was not in. It's not in there. It's in here. It's in your heart. So We ought to learn to go to bed saying, Lord, you never sleep nor slumber. I'm going to rest tonight. I need to rest. You're on this thing. Anything you need to know, I'll show me in the morning or in the nighttime hours. My reins, my inner man instructs me. Get in faith on that. I've had that. In fact, when I was doing that designation, so many times I'd get formulas in my sleep that it's amazing what the human, what the Spirit of God hooked up with your spirit. In fact, it says we have the mind of Christ. He lives in there. What he can do, we don't use nearly all our brain power, but, you know, it's not in our imaginations. We have to cast down imaginations. Every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We want the knowledge of God. That's what we've got to have for the answer. So it's in our born-again spirit. So when we stop trying to get out of our mind, get the answer there, and again, do the right thing. Do your intelligence. If you're selling a property and you're worried about, can I sell? Can I get the price? Can I do this? Will there be a buyer? I'm just going to roll the care over on God. That's great. But then don't be like Billy Bob and his wife Luella Bell and go sit down, eat bonbons all day and let the grass get this high. That's not what I'm talking about. You know that. You do what you know to do. You use your intelligence and you... we have found certain things where we go to God, you work almost harder than any, you work in the anointing, but it's work. W-O-R-K. I said this to office one time and they said, it's the secret success. You open it up, it says W-O-R-K. Now we work to enter into the rest. I'm going to just say this. We were showing our property that's for sale the other day. A showing coming up Friday at 4 p.m. So we're out there Friday, you know, hadn't been able to get the grass mowed, string trim. She's doing stuff in the, you know, Darlene is pressure washing the patio. You know, it just needed it. We hadn't done it for a while. And that's just a good thing to do, make it look good. I'm mowing the grass, string trimming. So we worked hard all day. I said, well, we're laboring, exerting ourselves to enter into the rest. We're showing the property. We don't have to be embarrassed. And you know what the people said? They used terms like pristine, immaculate, or, you know, and that makes you feel good. I don't know about you. I think a human, you want to represent things well. You as a person, a born-again person, you want to do things right. So in other words, you do what you know to do. You do the best you can do. You're not lazy. But then you've got to go from there. The next step is cast the care. Because we always say, you show a property or what, or you do anything. They're not our source. Lord Jesus, you are my Lord. You're my source. You can use them. We like them. You can use them. We like them. But you're the source. If you put your faith in people, then the next thing is you're starting to manipulate. You know, when we're praying over this, I'm very conscious that we're not manipulating anybody, Lord. We want the right people, just right for the property, right for us, because we live next door. You know, it's the intricacies of what we're talking about. You have your own deals, but, you know, you pray it out, and you. Well, my point is, you don't let the grass grow that high, but then you roll the care. And this, you know, people say, well, let me mention this too, along with that, Philippians 4, verse 6 through 9. I might, you know, it talks about whatever. Well, I'm going to read it quickly. As it fits here. I might not even read it quickly. I just might read it. Everybody's in a hurry, right? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, we didn't just, and I'm using as examples here, which I didn't want to, I don't like giving personal things sometimes, but if it'll help you, I'll do this. We prayed over this property. We want the exact right buyer for the property. We want them happy. And we didn't do a cheap flip. We actually ate the cost of an improper thing in the bathroom. We didn't like what the contractor did. And anyway, we ate the cost of that, gave the thing the Jubilee. But so I'm saying we did this right, the best we could do. And where else was I going with this? So, yeah, we're believing for the right people for the property. We want them happy. And we tell people, if they call me about it or we're showing something, I say, you know, we're not putting any pressure on you. We want you to be happy here. We're sowing this seed, not in fear that we got to get this sold. We don't have to get it sold. I mean, do we want to get it sold yesterday? Yeah. You know, it's extra, but you set your faith. I'm going to tell another story. John likes stories. A guy named Cole Stringer, an Australian. Way back. He had a 5-year-old daughter, I believe, and he was like a guide, and he had a weapons store, and just a rugged guy, but a born again. What? From Australia, yeah. So apparently they have some areas where he's out fishing. And that apparently these areas, when the tide goes in, I mean, the critters come out, and it's pretty rugged at that time anyway. Some things you don't want to be out there at night. So he's out there fishing. He gets some really nice fish with his 5-year-old daughter. And he had forgot to put the jerry can, he called it, the extra gas. They run out of gas. And it's starting to get dark. So this is a man of faith. I admire him so much. And so here comes this other guy. Maybe it was Billy Bob. I don't know. With a boat. And the guy calls up and, hey, how you doing? And Cole says, yeah, how you doing? How you doing? Can I get you anything? Can I give anything to you? We got other guy said, I didn't get any fish, and it's kind of embarrassing. Cole says, here, take some of mine. He's giving. Didn't say one word about his need, desperate need of fuel. His daughter. How'd you like to have your 5-year-old daughter? And then if it gets dark out there, it's not pleasant. So didn't say a word. They're talking a while, and the guy says, well, can I do anything for you? Cole says, well, we could use some gas. The guy says, wow, that's amazing. I just happened to bring an extra can along this morning. So here, go ahead. This is what I'm talking about, where you get in faith. You don't lose your head. And, you know, you do things right. You set your faith, and then you walk by it. And God is faithful. Has he ever failed you? He's never failed me. He's not going to fail us. Not going to fail us now. We have failed him at times and had things that didn't go right. But take heart. We're all in this together. Anyway, where did I go here? Philippians. Be careful for nothing. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known unto God. You do that. And the peace of God, it says, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amplifies it, so garrison about your mind and your heart. And then it says something that's important that ties in with casting down imaginations. You got to replace those thoughts with something else. Pardon me, one second. And one thing is you need to replace those thoughts with words. Like I just showed you what I do with the devil. No, devil. You may be as a roaring lion. You're roaring there, trying to scare me. No, you're not a roaring lion. You'll not devour me. And so forth and so on. That builds me every time I do that. It says, so you're replacing that thought with words, with the word. And believe me, that works. You got to work it, though. And then the other thing is, in Philippians, we just read this, and it says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keeps your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Whatever things, well, it says, finally, brethren, and I'm getting to my finally, brethren, whatever things are true, the word is truth, whatever things are honest, whatever things are a good report, are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think or meditate on these things. So hook that up. Casting down imaginations. You start speaking against those worry thoughts. No, I refuse to fear. I do not let my heart be troubled, John, the big John says. And I'm meditating the word. And I guarantee you, by the word of God, you start meditating this day and night, like Joshua said, that problem is going to be less and less. You're never going to get out of this earth without having to use your faith. Don't get me wrong. But it gets... You know, we're dealing with several hundred thousand dollar property. We're dealing with a lot of things. You know, so you could let that get to you. But, you know, it's just another day, you know. I never sold a house before, but I'm familiar with real estate. So you just step into this by faith, and then you keep that care off, and it gets easier and easier and easier. So here we are. Well, that sounds pretty hard, brother. Well, Go on down there in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. The Amplified says, I can do all things through the anointing, Christ, the anointing, which infuses inner strength into you. How do you remember all these things, brother? I have a photographic memory. I got it by the Word of God. I got total recall, and you can have total recall, at least in the Word. I may have some gift of that, but you can take the Word in here. I'll let you look it up. In the Gospel of John, it says he'll bring all things to your remembrance, whatever the Word has said to you. You can have total recall in the Word. So here we are, not bragging on me, just bragging on Jesus. Hallelujah. It's our job to build our thinking on the Word of God and renew our minds. Pastor talked about renewing our mind. We must not be moved by what we see and hear, but only what we believe. We believe God's Word. We look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. It says the things which are seen are temporal. You got to, and you know, I talked about this the other week in the offering. You got to have a vision of what's coming. We are in the most amazing time. We're going to be right in the middle of it, right in the forefront of it, and then we're leaving. And then it's a theocracy. Then this part of Congress can't say, well, I don't think the president should be able to do that. And I think that. No, then it's a theocracy, and Jesus is Lord and rules with a rod of iron. And I am so glad. How about you? So we look at Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. If you look at the things that are not seen, things that are not seen are the things working in the Spirit, the things that are working for you. Don't look at the natural world. You know, I don't look at the news that much. You got to keep a little bit of what's going on, but I don't look at it a whole lot because it tends to upset you. Jesus told Jairus, remember, stop the fear, believe only, and she shall be made whole. I'm telling you, I refuse to fear. I don't let my heart be troubled. You're saying the Word of God, and you're saying it, taking your authority. And some people, give me another example here. Some people worry about, oh, my kids, my grandkids, are they going to go to hell? I don't want them going to hell. Look what they're doing now. Oh, now they bought a motorcycle. Oh, no. You know, okay, do your job as a parent or grandparent. Pastor talks about Psalm 138 or 128. You know, your children would be like olive plants round about your table. I want to make sure on that. I think it's 128. Okay, you got it. So reference these. If you're worried about kids, grandkids, do your job. You do what you're supposed to do. Take your authority. You know, Psalm, like I said, and then realize that Christ, Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on the tree. And then under the curse, in Deuteronomy 28, it says that the curse, your children are going to captivity. They'll take your children away from you, and you'll not enjoy your children. Man, our kids growing up, I had those three things. I'd say, no, we're redeeming the curse of our children going to captivity. We're redeeming the curse of not enjoying our kids, having them taken away from us. We're not having that. And then you have to rest. Then you don't worry day and night. An example, Kenneth Copeland talked about this. I just heard him recently. He said his mother, Vanetta Pearl, worried, prayed for him for 15 years. I think it was 12 or 15 years. Oh, don't let him go to hell. Oh, now he's doing this. He's singing in nightclubs. Now he's doing this. By the way, he had a number one bestseller in the 50s, Pledge of Love. Can I tell another story quick? Are you bored? Jerry Savelle got bored again under Kenneth Copeland's ministry. His wife, Carolyn Savelle, Jerry was a paint and body guy, and he was not going to do the Word. But the night before they were getting married, his wife said, the man I marry is going to preach the gospel and do missions in Africa. He said, you're married. That's not me. You know, if you marry me, we're going to be on racetracks all around, you know. So anyway, Jerry, she hounded him about going to meetings. And finally she said, if you go to this one meeting, I won't hound you ever again. We're partners with Jerry Savelle Ministry, and that's why I know a lot of these stories. I won't bother you ever again. Jerry said, that's a deal I can't refuse. I'm going to go. Who's preaching? Kenneth Copeland. And he says, "Who's preaching?" She says, "Kenneth Copeland." He says, "Oh, I know him. He had a hit record, Pledge of Love." She says, "That's not him. No, he's a preacher. That's not him." So talk about how the Spirit of God moves. Kenneth Copeland's preaching that night with the authority he uses. This gets Jerry's attention. He never heard this kind of preaching before. Kenneth says, "I don't know why I'm telling you this, but in 1957, I believe it was, I had a number one hit record, Pledge of Love." And he looks over at his wife and says, "See, I told you." He got born again, you know, that night, accepted Jesus. And anyways, that long story there. But anyway, Kenneth Copeland's mother, you can maybe relate to this, praying over the family, over him, day and night. And just, she was a praying warrior. And finally, she said one night, she just came over and said, "Lord, I've done all this praying. If he goes to hell, it's not my fault." Slammed the Bible shut. He said, "I'm never praying another prayer again," she said, for him. Within 2 weeks, I think Gloria Copeland got born again, and then soon after that, Ken got born again. Now, that's a good example when you can take the care, roll it over there. God's moving, you know. So we don't want to, you know, do your job. Don't worry. Do your job, though. Don't be lax. And don't live like the devil in front of your kids and grandkids. Our one granddaughter, you know, she hurt her head one day when she was younger, and she said, "Can we call Grandpa and pray?" And that really blessed me. Man, when they're at our house, we work the word in, not preaching at them, just saying. And they are so hungry for the word. You know, Little Bear, that little cartoon thing. Cameron, a couple of years ago, said, "I wish I could fly." I said, "We're gonna fly." "Oh, we are." I said, "Yeah, in the rapture. I'll do a barrel roll around you. We're going to fly." And I started training her about this. And then sometime after that, we talked about being born again and not going to hell. And she says, "Well, I want to do that." And I said, "Well, here's how you do that." Young girl, I mean, you know, they're hungry. I didn't say, "Well, you better watch out or you're going to go to hell," you know. And so, you know, you use your word and then you rest in this thing. So I'm going to close with this. And this just, Lord gave me, I know this, but the Lord, I'm sitting on the front porch the other morning, meditating early on some of these things, and it just went off in me. Yeah, I know this, and this is great. So what if Jesus was standing right in front of you when you're praying, your bedroom, your closet, whatever, what if he's standing here today? I'm just saying, what if Jesus himself is standing here? And, you know, you say, "Well, Lord, I got this problem. I'm praying here, and you're praying the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden, there he is. He's standing there." He said, "Oh, Lord, hi." Or, you know, you'd probably fall out. But let's say you said, "I got this problem. I need $100,000 by the end of the year. I got to do this," or whatever your thing is. And this is really bothering me, Lord. And, I, you know, not that I'm anything, but I'm a tither and I do give. And I'm not based on that. I'm based on my faith that you're a good God. And would you take care of this for me? Would you get that for me? He says, "Yeah, I'll take care of that." If he said that to you, I mean, it's hard. Can you imagine if he said, he's standing there? You would probably be rolling on the floor wild beside yourself thinking, "I got it. I got it." And that's it. I got it. Somebody, your neighbor, said the next day, "Well, why are you so joyous?" "Oh, man, I just know I got the answer to my prayer. I saw Jesus." And so what we have here is as much a manifestation as if Jesus did that. If you meditate on that, it just turns you on. You know, Jesus even, rebuked Thomas, John 20:27. He said, well, Thomas wouldn't believe unless he put his finger in his side and his hands. Jesus said, "Don't be faithless, Thomas." You know, he had to see something. But, and then I want to, you might think, "I don't know about that." But listen, I'm going to prove it with the word. I think I preached on this before, but it thrills me. And if you don't like it, that's fine. It's going to bless me at the end here. 2 Peter. You don't have to turn there, but you can. 2 Peter, verse 16. This is Peter when he's older. He says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Peter talked about the coming some but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now this, we're hooking in now. Listen to somebody that was there. This is why I like the World War II weekends, and they're dwindling, but Band of Brothers or anybody that on D-Day or when I used to listen to my dad. I didn't know enough to take notes then, but people that were there. My grandfather was born in 1891. So if I think back of talking to him and came to this country, if I think back of talking to him, then I'm hooked into that back into the 1890s. I can think, you know, I'm trying to explain this, but you're hooked into there. Here, we're hooked into listening to somebody. Like those World War II guys, they were actually there. They were there, and they can tell us. We heard one guy talking about he actually was a guard of Hermann Göring when they were going through the Nuremberg trials. This thrills me. We're a part listening to somebody that was there. I don't have to read it in a book. So Peter, we got this right here. Peter's saying, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice of him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is the Mount of Transfiguration. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. And if you go back and read about that, I think Peter was beside himself. He said, Lord, let's build three tabernacles. And, you know, it's like the Father said, be quiet, listen to me, listen. You know, this is my beloved Son. But they were there. They saw this. And it talks about a vision, that it being a vision. He said, tell no man the vision. But anyway, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in the dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. When the light comes in, or the word of God, you start to see things. Excuse me. And knowing this, first, that no prophecy of the scripture is a private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So, he's saying, I was there. I saw him. I saw the transfiguration. I saw him turn white. And we're going down the mountain, and he said, don't tell any man the vision till I'm gone. I was there. I saw him. And I heard the Father say this. But then Peter says, but we have a more sure word. So, take that. If you meditate on anything I've done today, and you want to get rid of the care, which will help you get answered prayer. The thorn will be out of there. Help you get answered prayer, which glorifies the Father. That's the whole purpose of this, not just so we can have comfort, but he did send the comfort. But take that. We have this as if Jesus was standing there, but we have a more sure thing than that. And he is saying, humble yourselves, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You're going to get the answers, and you're going to be able to flow in what I've called you to do. You may see things in a whole different light when you get the pressure off your head, and you may realize, hey, wait a minute, we are in the last times here, and I am called in this direction. All this has been taking my time over here, but actually he wants me moving this direction. We've had to deal with things, put some things aside. That's why we're selling this one house. Anyway, you got to know by the Spirit what you're going to. But what I'm saying is, when you can get out of your head, casting down imaginations, get the pressure off, the distraction off, you hear in your heart, and you know, you have the mind of Christ, he's living in there, he'll get it to your head if you can get the care away, and you'll know what to do. Go to the rock that's higher than I, from the vantage point, looking down, listen, the Holy Ghost, he said, I'll send the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth has come, he'll lead you and guide you into all truth. He'll not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, he speaks. He does speak. He'll speak to you and tell you. Have confidence. But I got to do something. I got to worry. No. I got to do something. Maybe you do have to do something, but to get out of the worry, and he'll tell you, and then do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for this. I endeavor to do what you wanted me to do, and I thank you and praise you for your goodness, that you'll seal this. Jesus said affliction, persecution, cares of this world. Come in to try and steal the word. We don't want this word stolen. So we set ourselves to keep it in our heart, to listen in our heart, to go back and meditate on things. We thank you, Father, for your direction. We thank you for your course of action in these last days. You said in Psalm 32:8, you would instruct us and teach us in the way that we should go, in the derech, Hebrew, in the course of life, the path of life, the mode of action, the Hebrew says, the way that we should go. So you're instructing us by the pastor, by me, by these ministry gifts that you placed here. We thank you, Father. And we have ears to hear. So Lord, help us. You said you're helping us in Isaiah 41:10. You said you're helping us. You're strengthening us. So we operate in faith in that. We can do this, and we're excited about these days that we live in, this rushing, gushing flow of the Holy Ghost that's here and moving in a direction. We want to be in it and on it, the refreshing. You said, come to me, all that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You said in the Amplified, relief, recreation, blessed quiet to your soul. You said, your yoke is easy, wholesome, useful, good. Not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant, and easy to be borne. So we take your lordship, which is easy. We want you as our Lord. So we listen to you, and we thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen.